Blog Talk Radio.
That is designed to give you a bird's-eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his nation, Israel, the United Nation of Israel, and then the divided nation of Israel. And in these next series of studies, you will see the divisions. And you will see what brought about these divisions. And if you see what brought about these divisions, surely you can see by your studies how to reverse engineer that and bring this unification back together. And these series of studies in the book of the kings of Israel and the divided nation of Israel, Israel in itself and Yehuda. And you will see the divide and how it came about. And then, as I said, you can do some reverse engineering and come to some conclusion. How can we unify and get back together? And that's based most importantly on your relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also with one another and with strangers. But before we get into our studies, I like to make, as you know, and if you've been with us a long time, you know I like to make contemporary comments on ongoing subject matters. If one may pose a question to me, and they would say, Yom Suf, do you believe that the people in Israel, representing the nation of Israel, are they racist? Based upon what I know and based upon their response to other nations, you better believe it. I simply said that the people representing Israel, mark what I said, to me, are simply an outpost of universal white race supremacy. Yes, the people whom are representing at this time, the nation of Israel, are simply an outpost of universal white race supremacy. The evidence don't lie. Oh, it's true. And you better believe it. Also, the Palestinians are catching pure D-hail because of the racist attitude of those people in the land. They're catching hell. And you better believe that also. And Kevin McCarthy, the Republican representative, he's going against a commission to study what happened in the Capitol with these universal white race supremacists. He don't want to know, and he don't want you to know. But truth be told, it's nothing new. I mean, this just didn't happen this year in this country. When it comes to universal white race supremacy, there's a saying. They like to throw rocks and hide their hands. And if I may, I simply would like to say in response to that, throwing rocks and hiding their hands, the natives of this land once said, white men speak with forked tongue. And they ain't never lied. You people, if the truth fell in their lap, they would know what it was. They like lies, misdirection, and confusion. And no, they're not about to get to the bottom of it if they have anything to do with it. You better believe it. Also, last but not least, in North Carolina, the prosecutor, the local prosecutor, arrogantly got on the stand. I run this. For all intents, I run this. This is how I do it. Yeah. Andrew Brown, he was a dirty dog. Dirty, despicable, no good life, egg-sucking dog. And yes, the police officer perceived him to be in threat. Well, did Mr. Brown use his vehicle as a weapon? No, but he had to use it. He could have been sitting there. It's just by perception. It ain't about... Hold on, man. What you trying to say? It's about what the officers perceived as a threat. He didn't have to do anything. They just thought, okay, it's a threat. Kill him, bam. And you mean to tell me, when Mr. Brown passed the police officers, fleeing the scene, a nonviolent drug offender, and he was shot in the back, was he a threat then? Yeah, he a threat till he dead. Y'all better listen carefully to what that local prosecutor said. We are a threat till we dead. Even though the threat is perceived. That's what he said. You better believe it. My name is Yom Sufa Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. Let me bring my the lead student along with me. I'm a lead student, too. On the Real Talk for Real People show. Contrail from New York City, my brother and friend. We're the lead students in the study session. I'm going to bring him on, and I'm pretty sure he has some commentary on subject matter. Contrail, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufa Ari. May the Most High bless you and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother. May he bless you and your family also.
Todah Rabah. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Everything we touched on is dealing with universal white racist supremacy, whether it be Andrew Brown, Israel and Hamas, or K-Mac, Kevin McCarthy.
All around the world, Israel, same old song.
Yeah. And people think that we be bugging out when we talk about it, but it's evident every day, you know, that we live.
Exactly.
How could you justify from the little video clips that I saw?
Yeah.
I've seen people use cars as a weapon.
Right.
And I've seen people use cars to try to escape.
Right.
It's one or the other. And the fact that they continue to do that to our people is going to outrage our Creator, because it's not going to go on forever. Just like in ancient times when they was killing the Israelite baby boys when they was born.
Right.
You were antagonizing the Creator of the universe. And with the violence that's going on in the world, the Most High doesn't appreciate the violence and the death that's going on, which is why he destroyed the earth in Noah's time the first time.
Exactly.
So mankind is right back to his old tricks, and the people that carry the greatest weapons on earth, they're going to use them to suppress the people that really don't present a threat to them. We present a threat only by the numbers that we carry and the fact that we multiply the way we do.
Right.
So you can't even imagine Black Lives Matter doing what they did on December 6th. You can't imagine Black Lives Matter taking over the Capitol, assaulting police officers, trying to bust in and hang Mike Pence. You can't imagine Kevin McCarthy saying no to a commission to investigate what went on at the Capitol.
Well,
some of the senators are saying it was like a normal day that, you know, people was just coming in, you know, visiting like regular old day.
Right. Well,
happened that six people died. You know, it's just coincidence.
Well, under the scope of universal right for supremacy, that's quite acceptable, country.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But
and
we say
right.
What? No justice, no peace.
Right.
You shot the brother in the back of the head. We used to watch some cowboy flicks, and they used to call people cowards.
Right.
That shot people in the back.
Exactly.
You got a whole SWAT team, and you shot the brother in the head, in the back. You couldn't shoot the tires out, stop the car. You couldn't jump in the car and follow him and call for backup. No. You wanted to use lethal force when lethal force wasn't being used against you. But
on a non-violent drug dealer. On a non-violent drug dealer. Okay?
Yeah.
And this guy got up there. He smeared a brother Brown so bad, man. You know.
That's what they do. Like they try to do George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
He's on drugs. He got a he just took some drugs. He got a bad heart. They try to throw all kind of dirt on the victim.
Well, contrary, a fellow suitor, how is that relevant to the issue at hand? What his past was. We all got one. How is that relative to the issue at hand far as you shoot him in the back of the shoulder and shoot him in the back of the head. How is it relative to that?
The Israeli government, and you got that question, are they racist?
Yes.
They rescued the Ethiopian brothers and sisters, the Israelites that came out of Ethiopians, who they call Falasha,
right,
under a program called Operation Moses.
I remember that.
And they took our brothers and sisters out of Ethiopia and brought them to Israel and made them naturalized citizens of Israel.
Right.
But do you know that they treat them like America treats us?
I know it. It ain't
nothing
new.
A nickname. They got a nickname for them. Sand niggas.
Like I said, ain't nothing
new. That's what they call the Falachi, the Ethiopian brothers, that they quote-unquote rescued out of Ethiopia and brought back home under Halia. And they got themselves involved with the IDF, the International Israel Defense Force, and they actually took Halakha and all of that. But they treat them like we're treated here in America. They call them sand niggas.
You better believe it.
What was the point of bringing them back to Israel? Should have left them in Ethiopia if you're going to treat them like sand niggas.
Exactly.
So the way they're treating the Palestinians is like the equivalent to the South African government and apartheid, and you using your weapons that you get from European nations to inflict pain and punishment and death on the indigenous people of South Africa.
Right. That's all it is, brother. Apartheid.
Yeah. Yes.
A form of apartheid. When it comes to the Ethiopian and the interior and the people from Sudan and the Palestinians, that's what we in charge. And we do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. And ain't a damn thing you can do at it.
Not democratically, but by force.
Yeah. And exactly.
America claims to be a democratic nation, but we still looking for democracy for us.
Yeah, whatever, Cartrell. They've been singing
and
that song.
We don't realize that they've been ruling us by force.
Right. Well, Cadre, if you're done with your commentaries, I'm certainly done. And we're going to move right along to some important subject matters. First Kings.
I would like to say, you know, my prayers go out to our people in the Holy Land while this war is breaking out with Israel and Palestinian.
Amen.
I talked to my sister today, who's there.
Right.
And she's doing well. She says she's in and out of these bomb shelters. They got these alarms that go off.
Right.
She's like 500 yards from the bomb shelter where she is.
That's
and my
good.
Niece is like in her building is right downstairs. So they're doing well. They got
That's
their confidence
good.
Up. You know, they're trusting y'all. So.
That's good, Cartrell. Okay. Moving right along. First Kings. King David was now old and advanced in years. Though they had covered him with bedclothes, he never felt warm. He was getting old. His body could never warm him up, sign of growing old. His courier said to him, "Let a young virgin be sought for my lord the king, not to have sex with him, to wait upon your majesty with his attendants, so she can keep him warm. Let her lie in your bosom, and my lord the king will be warm." So they looked for a beautiful girl throughout the territory of Israel. They found Abishag, the son of Munite, and brought her to the king. The girl was exceedingly beautiful. She became the king's attendant and waited upon him. But the king was not intimate with her, as I said. She just used the body to keep him warm. His body, he stayed cold all the time. Now, Adonijah, son of Haggai, went about boasting, "I will be king." He provided himself with chariots and horses, an escort of 50 outrunners. His father had never scolded him. You know, King David should have corrected the boy. And his father never scolded him and said, "Why did you do this?" He was the one born after Absalom. And like him, he was very handsome. He conferred with Joab, who was his commander, army commander, son of Zariah, and with his priest Abithar. And they supported Adoniah. But the priest Zodok, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, the prophet Nathan, Shimeah, and Re, and King David's own fighting man, did not side with Adoniah. Just like Cartrell said, Commander Joab, at times made good decisions. And then again, at times he did make good decisions. And this is one of the times that the commander didn't make a good decision. And
that's the worst decision right here.
Yeah, I mean, he going backwards. Cartrell and fellow students, he should have knew by Absalom the characteristics of Adonijah was just as similar in nature, Prince Absalom. And why would you want a man like that, that is similar in nature to his brother? They caused a whole lot of division in the nation. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Because he looked good. He looked good.
Oh, on the outside. Okay.
Yeah.
You're right. Say no more.
He fit the bill.
Yeah, he fit the bill. Adonijah made a sacrificial feast of sheep and oxen, fatly at the Zohetla stone, which is near Enrogel. He invited all his brother princes, and all the king's couriers of the tribe of Yehuda. He did not invite the prophet Nathan, Abinadi, or the fighting men, or his brother Solomon. Solomon was the 10th son of King Dawood. Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "You must have heard that Adonijah, son of Haggith, has assumed the kingship without the knowledge of our Lord, King Dawood. Now, you need to take my advice so that you may save your life and the life of your son Solomon, because they're in peril with that young fellow. You need to take my advice. Go immediately to the king, to King Dawood, and say to him, 'Did not you, O Lord King, swear to your mercy, saving me, your son, Prince Solomon, shall succeed me as king. He shall sit upon my throne.' Then why has Adonijah become king, set himself king, while you are sitting there talking with the king? And I will come in after you and confirm your words that he said this to you." So Bathsheba went to the king in his chamber. The king was very old. And Abishai, the Shunammite, the young virgin, was waiting on the king. Bathsheba bowed low in homage to the king. And the king asked, he knew his woman. He knew something was bothering her. And he loved Bathsheba.
That's his mother.
Right.
No, I'm talking about King Dawood.
No, that's not King Dawood's mother. That's King Solomon's mother, Bathsheba.
Yeah.
She bowed low in homage to the king, and the king asked her, because he knew his woman, "What troubles you?" She asked him, "My lord, you yourself swore to your maidservant me, by Yah, your Elohim, that your son, Prince Solomon, shall succeed me as king. You promised me that. And he shall sit upon your throne. Yet now Adonijah has set himself king. And you, my lord, the king, know nothing about it. He has prepared a sacrificial feast of great many oxen and fatlings and sheep. He has invited all the king's sons, Abiathar the priest, Joab the commander of the army. But he has not invited your servant, Prince Solomon. So the eyes of Israel are upon you, O Lord King, to tell them who shall succeed my Lord the King on the throne. Otherwise, when my Lord the King lies down with his father, when you pass over, and my son Prince Solomon, and I will be regarded as traitors. You're going to put us in a precarious position because he ain't invited my son. So what they tell you? Because she know that my son is your favorite. She was talking to the king when the prophet Nathan arrived. They announced to the king, the prophet Nathan is here. And he entered the king's presence, bowing low to the king with his face to the ground. The prophet Nathan said, O Lord King, you must have said Adonijah shall succeed me as king. You must have told him that. And he shall sit upon my throne. For he has gone down today and prepared a sacrificial feast of great many oxen, fatlings, and sheep. He invited all the king's sons, the other princesses, the army officers, Abijah the priest. At this very moment, they are eating and drinking with him. They are shouting, long live King Adonijah. But he did not invite me, your servant, or the priest Zadok, or Benaziah, son of Jehoiada, or your servant, Prince Solomon. Yet this decision have come from my, this decision have come from my Lord the King without you telling your servant who is to see to the throne of my Lord the King? Have you made this decision unbeknownst to me? King David's response was, summon Bathsheba. She entered the king's presence and stood before the king. The king took an oath saying, as Yah lives, who has rescued me from every trouble, the oath I swore to you by Yah, the Elohim of Israel, that your son, Prince Solomon, shall succeed me as king, and that he will sit upon my throne in my stead. I will fulfill this very day. I will fulfill this oath that I made to you this very day. But Sheba bowed low and homage to the king, with a face to the ground. And she said, may my Lord the King David live forever. And King David said, summon me, priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, Benaniah, son of Jehoiada. When it came before the king said to them, take my lord, soldiers. Have my son, Prince Solomon, ride on my mule and bring him down to Gibeon. Let the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anoint him there, king over Israel. Whereupon you shall sound the horn and shout, long live King Solomon. Then march up after him and let him come in and sit on my throne as confirmation. For he shall succeed me as king. Have I designated him to be ruler of Israel and Yehuda. Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, spoke up and said to the king, amen, I concur. And may Yah, the Elohim of my Lord, the king, so ordain it. As Yah was with my Lord, the king, so may he be with Prince Solomon. May he exalt his throne even higher than the throne of my Lord King David. And the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went down with the Cherethites and the Pelethites. They had Prince Solomon ride on King David's mule, and they led him to Gibeon. The priest Zadok took the horn of oil, the anointed oil, from the tent, not no oil, no cooking oil, not no olive oil, that prepared oil for anointing the high priest and the king of Israel. And anointed Prince Solomon, they sounded the horn, And all the people shouted, "Long live King Solomon." All the people then marched up behind him, playing on flutes, making merry till the earth was split open by an uproar. Prince Adonijah and all the guests who was with him, who had just finished eating, heard it. They heard the tumult. When the commander Joab heard the sounds of the horn, "Why is the city in such an uproar?" He was still speaking when the priest Jonathan, son of Abiathar, arrived. "Come in," said Adonijah, Prince Adonijah. "You are a worthy man, and you surely bring good news." But Jonathan replied to Prince Adonijah, "Alas, our Lord King Dawud has made Prince Solomon king. The king sent with him the priest Zadok, the prophet Nathan, and Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. They had him ride on the king's mule as indication and confirmation. And the priest Zadok and the prophet Nathan anointed him king at Gabaon," the anointed oil, not no olive oil, not no chicken fat oil, okay? Not no any oil that you want to anoint someone with. This oil is prescribed. We've understood this in our studies. This oil is prescribed. It is specified in the making of it, this oil. And can't nobody say that they are anointed of this nation unless they are anointed by this oil in itself. No high priest, no king, no man can say he is anointed of Israel unless he is anointed by specification of Yah to be anointed with his oil. Y'all must understand this. Then they came from there making merry. And the city went into an uproar. They was happy. "That's the noise you heard. Further, King Solomon seated himself on the royal throne. The confirmation has been made. Further, the king's couriers have come to congratulate our Lord King Dawud, saying, may Yah make the renown of King Solomon even greater than yours, and may he exalt his throne even higher than yours." And the king bowed low on his couch. And further, this is what the king said: "Praise be Yah, the Elohim of Israel, who has this day provided a successor to my throne, while my own eyes can see it." Thereupon, all of Adonijah's guests rose in alarm. Boy, I tell you, their courage left itself. His guests, they got chicken feet, and each went his own way. Prince Adonijah, in fear of King Solomon, went at once to the tent of the tabernacle, and he grasped the horns of the altar. It was reported to King Solomon, "Adonijah is in fear of King Solomon and has grasped the horns of the altar. He ain't going about to let go," saying, "Let King Solomon first swear to me that he would not put his servant to the sword." King Solomon said, "If he behaves worthily, based upon his actions, not a hair of his head shall fall to the ground. But if he is caught in any offense, I ain't playing with my brother. This ain't no game, okay? I'm the king. He should die. I ain't playing." So King Solomon sent and had him taken down from the altar. And he came and bowed low before King Solomon. And King Solomon said to him simply, "Go home." King Solomon, you know, King Dawud told King Solomon when he was growing up, teaching him how to be a man and a king, he told King Solomon, "Show yourself a man." And then certainly in this case, he didn't play with his brother. Contrary, what say you, my brother and friend?
You got to remember, at this time, King Solomon is like 12 years old. So this is a boy king. He's not a man quite yet.
Oh, but he wasn't nothing like that.
He was sharp from when he was a little boy.
Yeah, he acted like a little man.
That's why King David told him, show yourself to be a man. He had to tell him, you can't be a boy. Childhood is over for you. You're the king of the nation.
Right.
So he's 12 years old making his decision.
And he told him, Godria, as long as you do right, right going to follow you. Do wrong, and it's home. Now go home. little boy king, go home. That boy had a hard country. Go home. He wasn't even a teenager yet. Little boy king.
And you see how kings became kings in Israel.
Right.
Unlike the New Testament tries to depict Jesus as king of Israel. He was never king of Israel. They try to depict him as riding on a mule and whatever. They can't show where he was anointed in his fashion. And that anointing oil, like you said, had to come from the tabernacle. And it was the priest and the prophet that anointed him king. And the people acknowledged it. They blew the horn. He rode the mule. And he sat on the throne to make it official that King Solomon is now king of Israel. And the fact that he was anointed and crowned king of Israel, his father had to bow down to him. Right? It shows where King Solomon, King David, gave deference to his son, King Solomon, the boy king.
Right.
It says, and moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, Elohim, make the name of King Solomon better than your name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed.
On his bed, with his son.
You got to acknowledge that his son is king now, right?
Right. He said, my son is a king.
Every father wants their son to be better than them.
Sure,
this is not like trying to show King David up, that they want to make Solomon, King Solomon's name better than King David and his throne greater than King David's throne. That's a compliment. You want your son to do better than you.
Right.
That's right.
To rule better. That's nothing wrong with that. And the king on his bed bowed low before his son. You know, he didn't have no problem with that. You know what I mean?
And, we could see that there was drama in the family because Adonijah, he trying to be slick and become king like his brother Absalom rather than do it the right way. He could have been next in line, but he's going to try to subvert his father.
Right.
And what was his beef with his father? That his brother died? Can't be because his father didn't kill him. And he saw that his father loved his brother Absalom so much so that Joab had to check him, like, yo, get up, man. People were like, you know, you think, they think that if they had died, you'd be more happy as opposed to Absalom. But Prince Adonijah, he feared his little baby brother, his little brother, King Solomon, because he knew that he was wise. He was smart. He wasn't just no little naive child.
Right. He's
and
smart.
He had King David's mighty men around him. The mighty men, but the prophet and the priests. And King David's priests, who he trusted, switched sides.
Exactly.
And he's in trouble, too. He know he in trouble, too. This high priest, what's his name?
Abiathar. Right.
Yeah, so Joab and Abiathar, they made the wrong decision in the end of King David's life. He's supposed to remain loyal to the end, man. And let the chips fall where they may.
That's how we do sometimes, Petrel, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sure,
everybody looks for themselves rather than tune into what the Most High requires of us and what the Most High wants for us as a nation.
Right.
So this chapter was important because it shows that you're not going to become king of Israel unless it's declared by the previous king or by the Most High himself.
Right.
And the perception is he rode the king's mule. He got the anointing from the prophet and the priest. They blew the trumpets, announced him king, and he sat on the king's throne. That's how you become king of Israel.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Cartier, fellow students, if Cartier's done with his commentary, I certainly am. And we're about to move right along to the next chapter.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cartier. as Jonadab, son of Obed. He came to Queen Bathsheba, King Solomon's mother, making an appeal. She said, "Do you come with friendly intent?" "Yes," he replied. And he continued, "I would like to have a word with you." "Speak up," she said. Then he said, "You know the kingship was rightfully mine, that all Israel wanted me to reign. But the kingship passed on to my brother. It came to him by the will of Yah. And now I have come to request to make of you. Do not refuse me." She said, "Speak up." He replied, "Please ask King Solomon, for he won't refuse you, to give me this guy. He's still a hot mess. He's still stirring up trouble. Give me Abishai, the son of Numite, his wife." "Very well," said Queen Bathsheba. "I will speak to the king in your behalf."
I'm sorry, now two.
Yes.
You in chapter 2, verse 1.
Oh, man, I went past. Oh, Lord. I sure went past. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother. My finger broke. Let's go back. When King Darwin's... Okay. Thank you, Cottrell. When King Darwin's life was drawing close, he instructed his son, King Solomon, as follows. "I'm going the way of all the earth." Everybody does this. "Be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the child of Yah, your Elohim, walking in his ways and following his laws, his commandments, his rules." He didn't tell him nothing else. Follow Yah. That's what he's saying. He didn't say follow the people. He didn't say follow your couriers. He said follow Yah. His admonition as recorded in the teaching of Moses. "In order that you may succeed in whatever you do." If you do this, you will succeed in whatever you undertake and wherever you turn. "Then Yah will fulfill the promise that he made concerning me. If your descendants are scrupulous in their conduct and walk before me faithfully with all their heart and soul, your line on the throne of Israel shall never end. Further, you know that Joab, son of Zeruiah, you know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me. What he did to the two commanders of the Israel's force. Abner, what he did to Abner, son of Ner, of Amasa, son of Jethia. He killed him, shedding blood of war at peacetime, staining the girdle of his loins and the sandals on his feet with blood of war. So act in accordance with your wisdom and see that his white hair does not go down to Sheol in peace." See, he don't just die a peaceful death. "But I want you to do this. I want you to deal graciously with the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, for they befriended me when I fled from my brother, from your brother, Prince Absalom. Let them be among those that eat at your table. You must also deal with Shemaiah, son of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim. He insulted me outrageously when I was on my way to Banahim, but he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swore to him by Yah, I would not put you to sword. So do not let him go unpunished. And I swore, but don't you let him go unpunished. For you are a wise man. You would know how to deal with him and send his gray head down to show him blood. I ain't forgetting what they did to me, but I made oath and I kept my oath. But this oath ain't on you. I want you to deal with Commander Joab, and I want you to deal with that Benjamite that was cussing me on the way back." So King David slept with his father. He died. And he was buried in the city of Dawood. The length of Dawood's reign over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 in Hebron, and he reigned 33 years in Jerusalem. And King Solomon sat upon the throne of his father Dawood, and his rule was firmly established. It was solidified. Adonijah, son of Haggith, came to Queen Bathsheba, King Solomon's mother. She said, "You come with friendly intent?" "Yes," he replied. And he continued, "I would have a word with you." "Speak up," she said. Then he said, "You know that the kingship was rightfully mine by lineage and heritage. And all Israel wanted me to be reign. But the kingship passed on to my brother. It came to him by the will of Yah. And now I have come to make a request of you. Do not refuse me." She said, "Speak up." He replied, "Please ask King Solomon, for he won't refuse you, to give me Abishai, the Shunammite, as wife." "Very well," said Queen Bathsheba. "I will speak to the king in your behalf." So Queen Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him about Adonijah. The king rose to greet her. He had respect for his mother and bowed down to her. He sat on his throne. He had a throne placed for the queen mother, and she sat on his right. And she said, "I have one small request to make of you. Do not refuse me, son." He replied, "Ask, mother. I will not refuse you." Then she said, "Let Abishai, the Shunammite, be given to your brother Adonijah as wife." The king replied to his mother, "Why request Abishai, the Shunammite, for Adonijah? Why are you asking me this?" "Request the kingship for him then. If you're going to give him my father's woman that kept him warm, you might as well ask for my kingship." You see, King Solomon's wife, he saw behind the trickery that was going on here, even though his mother didn't see, but he saw. "For he is my older brother. He's supposed to have this throne. And priest Abiathar and Joab, the commander of Zorah, was on his side, mother." Thereupon King Solomon swore by Yah, saying, "So may Yah do to me even more if broaching this matter does not cost Adonijah his life. Because he sent to you, mother, with this nonsense he was on, I know where he's coming from. He said, "I'm going to deal with him. I know what kind of game he's trying to play. Just because I'm 12, he think I'm a fool. I'm not a fool, mother. Now, as Yah lives, who has established me, he put me here and set me up on the throne of my father, King Dawood, who has provided him with a house as he promised. Adonijah shall be put to death this very day. I told him, stay his butt out of trouble. But he couldn't stay out of trouble." And King Solomon instructed Benaziah, son of Jehoiada, who struck Adonijah down, and so he died. "Kill him. I told him, say, go home and mind his own business. But he pulled tricks. I'm gonna put this to a stop right now. And anybody know when they coming at me, I'm going to deal with them." To the priest Abiathar, the king said, "Go to your estate at Anathoth. You deserve to die. The way your treachery, you was my father's priest, and you went on the other side. In actuality, you deserve to die, but you go on home. But I should not put you to death at this time. Why? Because you carried the ark of my Elohim Yah before my father, King David."
In other words, he's anointed too.
Exactly.
You don't put your hand on the anointed.
Right. He said, that's the only reason why you living. and because you shared all the hardship that my father endured. So King Solomon dismissed the high priest Abiathar from his office of Yah, thus fulfilling what Yah had spoken at Shiloh regarding the house of Eli. Yah said this was going to happen. And when the news reached Commander Joab, he fled to the tent of Yah, the tent of the tabernacle, and grasped the horns of the altar. But Joab had sided with Adonijah. Though he had not sided with Absalom, Prince Absalom, King Solomon was told that the commander Joab had fled to the tent of the tabernacle, that he was there by the altar. So King Solomon sent Benaiah, saying, "Go strike him down." Benaiah went to the tent of the tabernacle and said to him, "Thus said the king, come out." "No," he replied, "I will die here." Benaiah reported back to the king that Commander Joab had answered thus and thus. And the king said, "Do just as he said. Strike him down and bury him. Remove guilt from me and my father's house, for the blood of the innocent that Joab has shed." See, you can't let innocent blood go unrequited. See, there's a lot of innocent blood has been shed in this country. There's a lot of innocent blood has been shed, universally speaking. And people think they're getting away. But you can't get away from that shedding innocent blood. Okay? You think you got away. You think because the American government let you get away. You think you, because the people that are supposedly representing the nation in Israel are letting you get away. You think just because some people have chosen to hurt people in the so-called land of Africa that they're getting away. You think, universally speaking, "Oh, we got away." No, you ain't getting away.
And just like what we're seeing now,
right?
These people are paying for what they did. They didn't pay right away. Joab,
right?
Right.
You ain't gonna get away.
Everybody, it eventually catches up with you. So
exactly,
I think Solomon is making amends right now, cleaning up, you know, the deeds that had happened in his father's time, so that doesn't affect his house. So he has to bring justice to the land, being that he's the new king.
Exactly. So Benaiah reported back to the king that Commander Joab answered thus and thus. And the king said, Do just as he said, strike him down and bury him. Remove guilt from me and my father's house for the blood of the innocent that Commander Joab has shed. Thus Yah will bring his blood gift down on his own head, because unbeknown to my father, he struck down with the sword two men more righteous and honorable than he is, Abner, son of Ner, the Benjamite, the armor commander of Israel, and Amasa, son of Jetha, the armor commander of Jehudah. May the guilt of their blood come down on the head of Commander Joab and his descendants forever. And may good fortune from the Elohim be granted forever to King David and his descendants, his house, his throne. So Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, went up and struck him down, the commander. He was buried at his home in the wilderness. In his place, the king appointed Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, over the army and commander, in place of Abiathar the high priest. The king appointed the priest Zadok. Then the king summoned Simeon and said to him, the Benjamite who had belittled his father, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and stay there. Do not ever go out from there anywhere else. On the very day that you go out and cross the Wadi of Kidron, you can be sure you will die. Your blood shall be on your own head. You are under house arrest." "That is fair," said Simeon to the king. Your servant will do just as my lord the king has spoken. And for a long time, Shimon remained in Jerusalem under house arrest. 3 years later, two slaves of Shimei ran away to King Ashes, son of Maacah of Gath. Shimei, I was told, your slaves are in Gath. Shimei therefore saddled his ass and went out to Ashes in Gath to claim his slaves. Shimei returned from Gath with his slaves, an innocent thing, but he was commanded by the king to do something. Don't leave that house. Don't leave those grounds. You're under house arrest. King Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and back. The king summoned Shimei and said to him, did I not adjure you by Yah? Did I not make a promise to you and warn you on this very day that you leave and go anywhere else? You can be sure you will die. And didn't I ain't gonna tell you twice. And did not you say to me, it's fair, it's right, that's good, I accept. Why did you not abide by the terms before Yah and by the orders which I gave you? The king further said to Shimei, now he's 15 at this time, you know all the wrong which you remember very well. You know all the wrong you did to my daddy, and you know it very well. King Solomon, now Yah brings down your wrongdoing upon your own head. You're going to reap what you sowed. This on your own. You did this on your own. You had orders. You had specifications. You were under house arrest. I told you not to leave. So your wrongdoing is going to come on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed. And the throne of King David shall be established before Yah forever. Because I'm going to do the right thing. The king ordered Benaziah, the commander, son of Jehoiada. He went out and struck Shimei down, and so he died. Thus the kingdom was secured in King Solomon's hand. He didn't play. King Solomon didn't play with folk. Now, he told you once. He wasn't about to tell you again. He wasn't nothing to play with. And most often, he showed mercy. He didn't show too much mercy to Commander Joab. And because his father had gave him an oath to Joab that he wouldn't do anything to him. He said, but now you got blood on your hand. It's got to be requited. Now you on the other hand, Shimei, you was down a bad mouth my daddy. And then you came down to my daddy begging and please not running out your nose. My daddy gave you a pass. So I'm going to show you some mercy. I'm going to show you some love. But it's going to cost you. You got to put some skin in the game. Now, you build your house in Jerusalem, and you don't go out of that house. You don't go out of that compound, okay? And Shimei put his life in his own hand. Yeah, like King Solomon, he's just a boy. He's just 15 years old. He don't really mean what he's saying. I'm going to get my slave from God. And he went, recovered the slave, came back. And the report was taken back to the king. You know, Shimei, he left. You told him don't leave. Let's see how you respond to that. Call him up. Didn't I tell you to build a house? And didn't I tell you you are under house arrest and you don't leave that compound? What possessed you to leave that land? Leave that plot? Well, this on your own head. You bought this on yourself. Okay? I'm not playing with none of y'all. Okay? The house of King Solomon, my father, is established in righteousness and mercy. I showed you mercy. You didn't take advantage of it. That's on you. But I'm going to show not only you, but I'm going to show the people in this land, I'm going to rule with righteousness. I'm going to rule with mercy, which is what I did to you. So now it's time for you to come up, man. I can't be playing game with you. My father told me to show myself a man. And I'm going to man up on you. Okay? I showed you mercy. And you didn't take advantage of it. You took my age as something lightly. I'm the king. And when I give you a command, you follow that command. How much less, my brothers and sisters, what I said, and fellow students, is the word of Yah, that you should follow the words of Yah without question. If the word should be followed by the king on the throne of King Dawood, how much more should one follow the words of the true king of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How much more should you take his word just as serious as his man representative that sits on the throne of King Dawood? I would say to you, and I would submit to you, my fellow students, you should take the word of Yah just as seriously as you take the word of his representative sitting on the throne of King Dawood. And it's nothing to be trifled with or taken lightly. Contrary, what say you, my brother and friend?
Not only should you do that, not take Yah's word lightly, but you got to keep your word. Because Shemi gave his word.
We need to learn to keep our word.
After 3 years or whatever time elapsed, that King David forgot, and wasn't going to be no big thing if I went across this wadi. And he tested. You tested the mercy rather than living under the mercy. You tested the mercy of the king, and you came out a loser because you broke your word. So it's the same thing with Yah. Yah, we're living under his mercy. Don't test his mercy by going contrary to what he's commanded us to do. And most times we like Shimmy. We're going to test Yah's mercy. And doing that, he's just as fierce as King Solomon. You will lose your life. So it's important to guard your word and important to understand what our master, our king, our creator is commanding us to do. You got to know what the instructions are clearly, that you don't make any mistakes. So Shimei made a big mistake. King Solomon's brother, Prince Adonijah, made a big mistake. He started with the premise, I'm really supposed to be your king based on my genealogy and blah, blah, blah. I just got one request. Let me have my father's concubine. And that's a clear signal that you still at it. You're not satisfied, kind of like Donald Trump, that you've lost power. You're not in power, and you're going to try any means necessary to get in power. But it cost him his life because young King Solomon saw right through him. Maybe his mother didn't see through it, but she definitely saw straight through it. So got to give respect to our women, our children, when Yah is with them. And we see that there's a pattern. Nathan, the prophet, sent Bathsheba in to see King David, right? And that's kind of what Joab did with King David. He sent the woman who had lost two of her children, and then he came in after she went in there. So it was a way that they approached the king, and they usually sent the woman first to soften him up and then brought the real hard message. But it showed the fact that our kings were not so egotistical that they did not listen to the women of our nation. Matter of fact, they gave them an audience freely and heard their complaint.
Yeah, he heard his mother. He gave her the proper honor and respect. But his mother couldn't see what he saw due to his wisdom and understanding. He saw the trickery going on. His mother just thought it was something innocent. But he saw it was much deeper than that. He saw that Prince Adonijah was simply trying to undermine his kingship. He wouldn't have none of it. Okay?
And he got mad with her. He's like, can't you see? If he take her, he ain't going to take my king. Why not give him the kingdom?
Yeah, mama. Come on, mama. You might as well give the kingship then. You don't see what he's doing, mom. Come on, mama.
And this is a 15-year-old talking to his mother.
Right. He said, mom, come on.
You got to listen to your children.
You ain't crazy now. You can't see where he's coming at. I see right through his game. I told him to go home and no cause, no mischief. And he went right into mischief. I'm going to deal with him.
Yeah, he wasn't acting like no 15-year-old. King Solomon manned up, quick, fast, and in a hurry. He didn't have no childhood. King Solomon did not have a childhood. Straight from childhood, he's ruling a nation. And some adults can't rule a nation. He's doing better than King Saul.
Man, what you said? All right, Cottrell. Fellow students, if Cottrell is done with his segment of commentary, I certainly am. And he's done a good job, and I appreciate him for doing that. But we're moving right along to the last songs of Solomon. Lovemaking, real lovemaking. I ain't talking about sex. I'm talking about real lovemaking, a meeting of the minds, a uses of words properly in their context to cherish your women, to show appreciation that we used to do. Now it's all about sex. I want to sex you up. I want to sex you down. I want to have sex with your girlfriend, and I want to have your sex with your dog and a P2-2. It's all about sex now. And we have lost the art of lovemaking with this. We have dumbed down. We have come to the lowest common denominator. We have been reduced to the lowest common denominator. And we think that's all right. No, it is not all right. Thank you, Katria. We're all it is.
Yes, we used to sing songs like Body and Soul. Body and Soul. Yeah, we want that relationship, body and soul. And that's what they're showing. It's not just about the body, it's about the soul. You got to be attracted to your partner, yes.
Right.
You got to be handsome. She got to be beautiful. And beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. But it has to be that connection on a soul aspect as well. Body and soul, that's the way it's got to be. Hey, body and soul, ooh, baby, come to me, because I'm ready to say I do. Thank you for my pride. I know you remember that song.
Yeah, I remember that. I tried to hit a note, but I didn't want you hating on me, so I didn't hit a note.
Nah, I didn't remember
that. Okay, brother.
But we wasn't singing them kind of songs that you talk about, they singing now.
Exactly.
It was more romantic, and this is what we're saying in the love that King Solomon had for his lady friend.
Exactly.
His wife.
Yeah.
So in this chapter, we give thanks to our king and his lovely bride for their poetic expression of their love that they had for one another. It goes on to say, oh, that you were like my brother who nursed at my mother's breast. If I should find you outside, I would kiss you. I would not be despised. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to instruct me. I will cause you to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. And we have songs like that. You can't hurry love. You just got to wait.
Yeah. Can't hurry love. But you just
out of wait.
I think the Supreme sung that song, Can't Hurry Love.
Yes. Can't hurry love, you just have to wait. Love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take. How long must I wait?
I love them song, man. I didn't know what love was. I just know it sound right. You know, I was too young to really know what love was when them songs. I made out about 10, 11. But I loved them because I could feel what them sisters were singing. And it made sense. You can't have love. I'm 12 years old. I don't even know what love is. But it sounds good to me. It's a game of give and take. I got to give. She got to take. She got to give. I got to take. It's play off of one another. And I knew what them women were saying at 10, 11 years old. Katria, you knew that that made
That's
sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Wisdom coming through the music.
Right.
Because, you know, you wanted to be out there. You wanted to have a girlfriend and show your friends you had a fine girl or a date. And you was like, you know, dude on the block. But it don't work out like that all the time.
I didn't know what I was doing when I had one anyway, Katria. I didn't know what I was doing when I had one anyway. Truth be told.
Yeah, so sometimes there's a physical attraction, but there's not a spiritual or mental attraction.
Right.
And those relationships go haywire because the physical attraction produces children, and you're not compatible with one another. And that ends up in disaster. So
exactly.
You have to be compatible mentally, physically, and spiritually to your lifelong partner who you want to make your lifelong partner. And
amen.
The same here. Don't rush it. Take your time. Yeah.
Don't rush it. Take your time.
Make sure you know what you're doing, who you with. Because it's difficult to get to know a person, and you ain't going to just learn them in a couple of months who they really are.
You better take some time now. You can't hurry love. It's a game of give and take. You got to get to know that person, and that person has the right to get to know you. Okay?
Absolutely. Who was coming up in the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awakened you under the apple tree. There your mother brought you forth. There she who bore you brought you forth under the apple tree. She says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. True.
Mm.
Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame.
Mm-hmm.
That's true about jealousy. People lose it. Right?
Man, they do something to you.
I saw you.
Walking in the rain.
In the rain.
You were holding me, you and he,
uh-huh.
and
never be the
same.
You're not going to be the same. Right?
Take that coat off.
You're not going to be
the same. Don't say nothing.
Don't get caught.
Yeah.
Right? Because that jealousy, and you got to know, y'all made us feel jealousy because he's jealous for our love.
Right.
Now people worship idols and false religions and false doctrine. We stir up Yah's jealousy because we're
exactly.
supposed to love and serve only him. So he makes us feel what jealousy is.
Exactly.
And we gotta respect Yah's feelings that we ain't walking all the way. We ain't making you jealous, Yah, because we're not serving the doctrines of men.
Well, Kaja, what about that song say, it's so good loving somebody when somebody loves you back?
I don't know about that one.
Hey,
because he's talking about 70-30, 60-40, 50-50. No, it's 100-100.
I'm changing up them lyrics. It's 100-100 love.
Yeah, he don't say that, though. 50-50.
Yeah,
I don't know what
that is. No, it's 100 all the way, 100.
Not 70-30, not 60-40. I'm talking about 50-50. No, 50-50. Where the other 50 going?
Yeah, I want the 100. When it's undone, it's done.
Yeah. All the other lyrics is all right. When you start calculating them numbers, they don't add up.
Yeah, it ain't off with them numbers. Because like you said, Katya, where that other 50 going?
Y'all don't want 50. You want 100, right?
Yeah.
All your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Not 50.
So that means
you want
to know
what where the other 50 going.
Yeah. So that being said, I want my 100. Okay?
Yes. And you should give 100.
Exactly.
You want 100, you should give 100.
Truth be told. And
how about
if you're
on a team and you're only giving 50%?
Right.
They don't want you on that team. No, brother, you got to put it all out there. You got to give your all and all.
Leave it all on the table. Leave it all on the table. Leave it all on the table.
Yeah.
Both of them, him and her, you have to leave everything on the table. And if you ain't willing to leave all everything on the table with them, leave them alone, okay? Leave him alone if you're not willing to give 100%. She to him and him to her. If you're not willing to give 100%.
It ain't going to work.
Yeah. Get out. Okay? It ain't going to work.
So she got brothers, and they speaking up for her. They say, we have a little sister, and she has no breath. Come on, brothers. Why are you talking about your sister like that?
Hey, you won't be looking anyway.
Huh? Why are you supposed to look at your sister's body?
Well, they can't see nothing anyway because they brothers. They would see him if they were there anyway. They ain't supposed to
and
see
her
him.
Her body is not appealing to them. It may be appealing to another guy. And I'm sure it is. It's appealing to King Solomon. It ain't appealing to them. It ain't supposed to be.
Yeah.
You got no breath. Okay.
You my brother. Yeah. He like him. He like him. It's all that matters.
He says, what shall we do for our little sister in a day when she is spoken for? What are we going to do when she go get married? Oh, now you're going to be mad because she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
If she is a wall, we will build upon her a battlement of silver. And if she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. So they're going to help her sister out, build her up, you know, make sure she's good.
Mm-hmm.
She said, don't worry about me. I'm a wall, and my breasts are like towers. Y'all ain't got to worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
that I became in his eyes as one who found peace. King Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He leased it to the vineyard keepers. Everyone was to bring forth his fruit, 1,000 silver coins. My own vineyard is before me, King Solomon said. You, O Solomon, may have 1,000, and those who tend its fruit, 200. She says, you who dwell in the gardens, the companions listen for your voice. Let me hear it. She says, make haste, my beloved. Be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. So hurry up and come home, baby. I'm waiting for you. I know you're out here chasing up other lovely ladies, but it's me that's really waiting for you.
Yeah, come on home, baby.
Yeah. And what are you saying?
I got 10 more miles to go now. My feet are hurting mighty bad. I've been walking for 3 days and 2 lonely nights.
I got to walk on.
You walking home. He's trying to get there.
Yeah.
He got miles to go because he got responsibilities as king.
Amen.
Saying, hurry up. Hurry up this way again, bro.
Won't come around this way. I got something for you. All right.
That's how it should be, right? The queen waiting for you.
Yeah.
Everything ready for you.
Yeah.
And you bring her, you know, the gifts. Give it 100%.
Yeah. He got some love, Jones. She got some love, Jones, going on.
Yeah,
good
man.
Thing.
Beautiful
it's
thing.
Good. We made it out of something, a bad thing, because we don't know what love is. I mean, you weak for her. Girl, you weak for him. And you should be. You should have a love, Jones, for one another. Don't let these folk get in your head. These folk, these toxic and poison relationships that don't even know nothing about what a relationship entails or whatnot. But they always like to tell you what to do about yours. They're like them brothers were talking, girl, you ain't got no press. What you talking about? She said, I got what he need. I got what he need. You worried about the wrong thing. And you need to tell them folks try to get in your business, whether you're a brother or sister. Y'all got what each other need. Keep them folks out your business, man. Them folks is not there to help your relationship. It is incumbent upon both of you have an invested interest in their relationship. Ain't nobody else gonna care about y'all God, secret God, but y'all. And if y'all don't take care of your God, it ain't gonna be no secret. You better believe it. Go ahead, country.
And it's really all about relationships, respect of our women, our daughters. They should be, you know, virgins that get married to worthy and capable men who will love them and treat them like, you know, the mothers and the daughters of Zion, like they are, so they could have family, children. To build up our nation, and that's what it's all about. Not
that's
to play the Romeo game and try to knock off as many women as you can, or
right.
whatever the women is doing these days, because they're not, they don't need a man. You don't
right.
need a man, which means you ain't think about family or children or none of that stuff. So we kind of twisted in this Western Hemisphere.
Well, contrary, they just need sex now. And they can get that from anywhere, so they think. They can get that from another woman. They can get that from an animal. You know, and it's all about
perfection. Could pay money
right.
for it,
right? Pride and shame. They can't experience the love of King Solomon and his beautiful country girl. Everybody should experience that love, that kind of love. That's real love, okay?
But true love.
True
yeah.
love. Contrary, if you're done with your commentary, I certainly am. And
yes,
contrary, where are you going? After these studies, where you headed to?
Something I got to think about, but it's probably
okay.
back into the Psalms, because
mm-hmm.
we need to master those Psalms to the degree
okay.
that it brings us closer to the Most High. But I think about it.
Sound like a plan, Katya. Sound like a good plan. We need to master them. We need to be redundant and repetitive, because we're going to be right.
a lot of those Psalms that our people don't realize that we could tap into to bring
right.
the Most High closer to us in our troubles.
Exactly.
Because people reach out to me all the time, you know, about their
mm-hmm.
troubles. I'm like, do you know about, like, the 91st Psalm or various other Psalms that you can read to ask y'all for your help? So.
But they don't follow through. You have to follow through on this. And
yeah.
that's the problem. They need to follow through. And they think just, you know, I can just read it and that's going to be enough. No, you got to live the life. You just can't just read the life. You got to live the life. And you got to follow through on it. That means follow through. All right.
And the thing about it, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is that it's our king, King David. We just read about him. And we could see through the Psalms how he poured out his heart to the Most High, which is why the Most High loved him and blessed him the way he did. Even though, you know, he made mistakes, the Most High loved him because of the way he prayed to him. So a lot of people don't know how to pray. And repetition and redundancy helps you get stronger in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And we need to have spiritual strength. And the only way you're going to get it is by, you know, opening up in communication with the Most High.
Exactly. Truth be told. Well, Cartrell, we have fellow students. If Cartrell is done with his commentary, I certainly thank you.
Yes.
I certainly am. And come on back tomorrow. We're going to be right back at it, right back giving you the word of Yah. We're going to help break it down for you. We're going to give you a bird's eye view from the perspectives of Yah. The perspectives of the people we're talking about, such as King Solomon, King David, any of the other leaders, and the commanders and the high priest and so on and so forth. We're going to give you their bird's eye view and how to interact, which is most important in a relationship when it comes to Yah, in our with one another, in our with strangers. And keeping your word is vital. We've learned this. How important keeping your oath, your word is. I think a lot of us take it lightly. We just tell people anything. And you can't do that. If you're doing that, you need to stop that. If you're giving your word to someone, you must keep your word. If not, you must go to them and ask them to release you from your obligation for your oath, okay? Just don't just take it for granted. Words are important, and making oaths are important. It's important that you follow through on those. That being said, Cartrell and I, we don't know where you're going, but we know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. May the Most High, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, bless you, direct and order your steps, so you can stop leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because you're broken. And broken people follow broken paths. We're trying to help you reestablish a path, a path that is lit. They can show you the right way. And that's which is the word of Yah. And that being said, you need a new spirit. You need a new heart. Really, you need a new engine in your automobile, so to speak. You need a new spirit and a new heart. And how do you go about getting that? Well, King David left some instructions. Follow those instructions. He prayed for one. He prayed seriously. He said, give me a new heart and spirit, one that loves you with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, and my brothers and sisters as myself that thirst after righteousness continually. That's the kind of heart and spirit you need. We all do. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And this is in dedication to all these wonderful sisters out here that need to be held on to, and all these wonderful brothers out here that need to be held on to. Keep holding on. We love you. Shalom and good night.
My heart had grown colder, but the warmth of your kiss I can't dismiss. Though my past has left me bruised, I ain't hiding from the truth. When the truth won't let me lie, right next to you. But it's holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to make it, played the part, but I can't fake it. It keeps holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to break it, heaven knows that I can't shake it. Holding on, holding on, holding on, holding on. I've seen times that were harder. I remember the taste of bitterness. Won't you help me, my Father? Help me fall in the love that I have missed. Though my past has left me bruised, I ain't hiding from the truth. When the truth won't let me lie right next to you. But it's holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to make it, play the part, but I can't fake it. It keeps holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to break it, heaven knows that I can't shake it. Whoa, whoa. But it's holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to make it, played the part, but I can't fake it. It keeps holding on, and it's holding strong. Even though I tried to break it, heaven knows that I can't shake it. Holding on, holding on. It keeps holding on, it keeps holding on, it keeps holding on.